At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Right now, drive home a new 2025 Volkswagen Atlas for 2.9% APR for up to 60 months.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 6/25.
At Byers Airport Subaru, we've been family-owned since 1897. Built on trust, transparency, and the best customer experience. All conveniently located by the airport. We take pride in treating every customer like family because that's what has kept us around for generations.
Drive home a new 2025 Subaru Forester Hybrid for 4.9% for up to 36 months.
Start your journey today at ColumbusSubaru.com. Byers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 6/25.
From the Motorsport Network, I'm Tom Howard, and you're listening to Gravel Notes. Today we have a special episode lined up as we're joined by the current leaders of the World Rally Championship, Hyundai Motorsports' Thierry Neuville and Martin Vedager. Thierry and Martin have made a blistering start to the 2024 season, headlined by a stunning win in Monte Carlo. At the time of recording, the Belgian duo have won five WRC rallies since teaming up together at the start of 2022. In a wide-ranging interview, Thierry and Martin discuss their first rally memories and how they work together as a driver and co-driver. We also find out where their never give up attitude comes from, how they unwind away from the stages, and their wishes for the future of the WRC.
Welcome to Gravel Notes, Thierry and Martin. Before we start with our guests, we like to have a couple of fun questions. So we'll start with you, Thierry. Your first rally memory, can you sort of take us back to that point where you were like, this is what I want to do?
My first rally memory, I would say that probably was this local rally close to my hometown, which was called Rally des Crêtes, like 15 minutes, even not 10 minutes from my hometown away, where we went to spectate when we were young, and it was a very spectacular rally. It was the last rally of the season for the little championship around the area. And there was a lot of things always happening. It was already sometimes snowing, lots of crashes. very spectacular. And that was the one we were always enjoying, was the highlight of the season. And I remember very well being a spectator for many, many years and always telling my parents that one day I'm gonna be one of them.
Are you, Martin?
Yeah, it's a bit the similar story. Just also a local rally close to our home. I can remember, because I was also quite into cycling, to cycle around the house and hear the rally cars far away, and asking my dad if we'd have a look over there. And we went together there with my brother, and then everything started rolling. First my brother in the rally car, and then a couple of years later it was me. So yeah. Quite good memories, actually.
Obviously, a question for both of you. Now, this will be quite a tough one. If you had to pick one rally car from history to have, or we'll have a go in a rally, own, what would you pick?
I mean, it's hard to say like this. There are lots of nice cars. I'm a bit hesitating. I have a few already very interesting cars, but I think that between the real Audi Quattro, the S1, or probably the Subaru WRC already, the S6.
And any particular reason for that? Or just...
No, because I just like the cars. I mean, Subaru has always been one of my dream cars, rallying cars. I mean, the design they had with this nice blue color, the look of it. Yeah. I mean, Subaru was always an icon for rallying for me, and I have always been much more Subaru fan than Mitsubishi. So probably it would be Subaru S6, or if I could get one, a real Audi Quattro would be nice as well. But obviously, the driving fun, I think, would be better with the support.
So a Subaru and an Audi for Thierry, can you beat that, Martin?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, for me, it's without any hesitation, it's a Citroën Xara WRC.
Wow.
Sebastian Loeb area. If I can choose then one livery, it would be the one with the blue corners. Because they had some differences. For me, that is an iconic car, and I grew up in this WRC period. Yeah. More or less, when I was really getting into rally as a real fan and dreaming about it. So, definitely. If I can have a go in this car, then sorry, Thierry, but if I can do it also with Sebastian Loeb one day, it would be a childhood dream that comes true, because I have so much respect for my heroes in the past. And later on, Thierry was also a hero for me. And now we are in the car together. So.
That is pretty cool, isn't it? It's nice to sort of talk about the history and stuff. Don't get me started on liveries, because I think we could be there all day talking about our favourite liveries. There's so many good ones. But I'd like to ask you, like, what is the coolest part about your job? Like, I mean, for many people, many dream of doing this, but what is the coolest aspect of it?
For me, the coolest part is when you are in the stage and you are enjoying it. When the flow is there, when the feeling is good with the car and you're having fun, that's the coolest part for me. I think it's the coolest part for everybody.
I mean, yeah, if you can make your dream get coming true and do a job what this started as a hobby, then I think everything about it is nice and enjoyable. Even the hard moments, you still need to realize that we are very privileged that we can do this as a job, living our dream every day, even in the hard days. And I'm very thankful for all the opportunities we get. Also, like, for example, here today, spending a day on Nürburgring. A lot of people already, for a lot of people, this is like also a dream. And for us, it's just our daily job. So very thankful for that.
So you mentioned there, Martha, that Thierry's actually one of your heroes. That's quite a cool thing, isn't it, to be sitting alongside and working together with someone you look up to?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have never thought in the past that I would have the opportunity to co-drive Thierry when I was, 10 years younger. Thierry was already in the European Championship, driving in one of my favorite rallies in Ypres, and then a couple of years later being there in the first ever WRC event in Ypres and winning it. You know, all these kind of things are just mind-blowing. So really good memories, and I'm proud of this kind of things.
In motorsport, rally sort of stands out as something a little bit different in terms of there are two people in the car. You enjoy and go through everything together. What is it like, that sort of that connection that you have with someone that you're sharing all of this with?
Well, for sure, at the end, you're only two who really discover the things we see from the inside, which are obviously different than what people can see from the outside. We go through the highs and lows, of course, but we also go through, I don't know, all those corners throughout the year together, you know, and all those moments, real moments during the stage or whatever, all the crazy stages we live, the crazy attacks and so on, we live it together for sure. So the only one you can exchange with on that is your co-driver, but also out of the stages, everything you live within the team, frustration, the happiness, basically you it's only your co-driver who lives the same emotions as you, basically.
It's unlike any other motorsport, isn't it? Like, I know there's like team aspect in other circuit racing, but they're not in the car together. You know,
definitely. I mean, in circuit racing, they share a car, but they are not together, so they don't share the same moments on track, which we obviously We do.
Do you have to be like best friends, or like do you have to sort of like talk to each other all the time outside of rallies, or how does the dynamic work?
No, you don't need to be best friends, and you don't need to be, I mean, spending your free time together. Definitely not. And I would even say that it's better to not spend all the time together, because it's like a couple. When you are for 3 months and one in the same room, there might be some tension and problems. So it's safe for us. I mean, everybody needs some other things to do, some other hobbies, some other fun moments. And at the end, it's similar to the relationship in your office with your colleagues.
The only difference is that I see Thierry more often than my own girlfriend.
Is that the same for you though, Martin? Do you sort of share the same view that you don't need to be like always talking to?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, for sure you need to get along in a positive and a good way, because as we mentioned, we are spending a hell of a time together. A lot of days, Ricky, PR things, like traveling together. So if you are not matching together, then it's very hard to work together. But I think you need to find a good balance in how much time you spend together, knowing each other a little bit, when you know that you need to leave the other one alone. And I think we quickly found a good balance. And our relationship is working very well like this.
We see, obviously, that you two obviously clearly get on well together. Like, I only have to look at Croatia last weekend with your Porsche bet and all that sort of fun and games. But you know, you go through all the emotions. You must enjoy it, right? You enjoy each other's company.
Yeah. I mean, we obviously it's like an old couple now, because we're already driving 4 years together. But for sure, you need to, like Martin said, you need to have somebody you get along with. And because you live all kind of moments and emotions, and I think we are both quite calm, so it's quite simple.
Let's talk about your season then. Obviously, so far you're leading the championship at this point as we record this. Like, it's been a very, very strong start to the season. You must be delighted with how it's gone.
To be honest, it's a good start. I mean, we have had always good starts into the season, so we need to keep both feet on the ground. We secured only 2 podiums, but also due to the different circumstances, especially with the heavy snow in Sweden and the technical issues in Kenya. But points wise, we have had a very strong start of the season, and we're still leading the championship, so that's very positive for us. And it always feels good, obviously, when you're leading the championship or close to lead the championship. You know that you're in contention for the championship. That's always good.
Yeah, so, Martin, I mean, obviously, you're sitting on the other side of the seat there. You get a different picture of it, but you are leading this championship, and you can't argue. It's been a very, very strong start.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you always want to have the best result possible, and you are always aiming for this victory and podium spot. But especially this year with the new point system, I think it's a big game changer. As long as we can have this advantage of 6 points, 4 points, even 1 point, as long as you are opening every rally, it's a very good sign for the championship. And at the end, this is the main goal for us and the team. So, we need to optimize every opportunity we have. And it's a different approach than in the past with this new point system. And at the moment, it is still in our advantage. Yeah. So let's hope we can continue like this, because we have some tough rallies coming up with all the gravel events. So. Let's see how it goes.
There's plenty, obviously, of discussion about this point system, but I wanted to ask you about, in the car, are you thinking about it? And are you sort of, like, in terms of, like, do you think, oh, we must attack on Sunday because we have to get points? Or is it just a case you don't, it's not in your mind,
no,
you're just driving?
No, you cannot ignore the new point system. You need to catch the points and optimize your strategy to catch the points. It has been different scenarios on every rally so far and different strategies. As simple as we knew that in Croatia, Friday, Saturday, we needed to take those 18 points because we were in the lead, we had the control, we felt good. So there was no reason to back off and be happy with 15 or even 13 points. So those 18 points were really important. And the target as well was on Sunday to chase the maximum points we could. Obviously, we didn't get too many of it, but knowing already on Friday or Saturday that the points we took were already a good amount of points, and with a more dirty road on Sunday, we expected that it would be difficult anyhow to take lots of points from Sunday.
Obviously, it was a difficult end to that rally. A shame because you were looking very strong as if this was going to be one of those real fine victories. But obviously, the moment had happened. But how do you sort of deal? Like, I don't know how you deal with those sort of things in the car because it's all happening so fast.
Like, there's not much time during a race event to deal with anything. You go ahead and we focus on the upcoming stages. Obviously, the car was damaged, so we couldn't do much. Other than this, we would have still been in contention for second place and even maybe a first place with 9 seconds difference, but with a damaged car, there was not much to do. So you focus on securing those points you got already, and we secured on the day before, which were a lot full of points important for the championship.
Yeah, it's one of those things is that mistakes happen. You just have to, I guess, block it out and move on. Is that how you sort of attack it then?
Yeah, I mean, with the experience we have in the championship and in rallying, you always move on. There's no way back. You can't set back the time and do things differently. So you carry on. A new event is coming in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. And there's another opportunity to defend the championship lead. So that's the only thing you can do is always look ahead and don't look back.
You say then, sort of moving on a bit, I suppose. The next sort of task is Portugal, isn't it? Like, what goes through? What happens now? You have a test, and then. Just explain the sort of process for perhaps people that don't understand it.
As the process is basically the same every time. Whatever, we are quite limited with the test days during the last seasons. We go on travel to Portugal, do our event test with the test team, which has already prepared quite a lot of stuff to test, to go through, to validate. And then the team will prepare the race car with the spec we have decided to use for the rally. And then we will be back for the recce. It's 2.5 days of recce in Portugal. And then the usual race competition starts again with every time different challenges. Different challenges we have to face and sometimes different strategy we have to go for to optimize our performance on the weekend.
One of the things that I think that is noticeable about certainly about you two is you have this never give up attitude. There is always, you just do not refuse to give up. I think one of my favorite memories is, well, of an example of this was Croatia in 2022 when you were pushing the car into service for like a kilometer and I saw you both collapse on the floor out of exhaustion. Like, you guys just will not give up. Where does that come from?
I mean, yeah. It's quite obvious that we are both passionate by the sport and you want to win. You want to win the event. You want to win the championship. And it's always easy to give up and stop if the car break down or whatever. But we don't want this. We want to continue because every single point in this championship can make a big difference at the end of the season. So even if you're scoring less points than you initially wanted, every point is very welcome. It's that kind of attitude we have. And it's paid off already because a lot of things can happen during the rally. We saw it also last Sunday in Croatia, like on one stage, we almost lost four cars on one stage. So even if you then are in fifth position, you can get second or even win the rally. So yeah, it's an attitude, a mentality that you should have if you want to win.
Definitely. I mean, and that's probably the biggest difference between rallying and Formula One as well, is that when Formula One, the car is damaged and driving 3/10 slow all up, then the others, the car is retired on the next lap because just simply they do not have the same attitude of trying to survive. Even in a difficult situation, trying to survive and trying to optimize the situation. That's the difference in rallying, where everybody is constantly pushing to limits, new boundaries, and never giving up. We are not the only one. Everybody is pushing hard and working hard, and that's why the competition level is so tight and high. Even if there are only seven or eight drivers on the highest level at the moment, those seven or eight are making life each other very, very demanding, and pushing each other into the limits of our own capacities. But every time you feel like you have learned something, and every time you get stronger, and that's nice, and that makes us not only stronger in our competition environment, but also outside. And that's what rally drivers and teams and crews are made of.
You say, like, the sport is hugely spectacular. It's probably one of the most spectacular motor sports out there. There are times when I'm very privileged enough to watch this and follow you guys and report on this. There are times where I sit there, I genuinely don't understand how you are able to achieve what you're able to achieve. Like, it's mind-blowing. Is there a point in the car where you even share that view where you're like, I don't believe I just did that, or like, I cannot believe, like, this is what we are going through in terms of what the skills you are having to use?
I think, like, last weekend in Croatia is a very good example. There were a couple of stages where it's just mind-blowing what the drivers actually are doing with those cars on such a high speed, the 20-kilometer stage with very tricky conditions, gravel on the road that is changing for every driver. One car has four soft, the other car has a mixed combination of tires, and still we are with four cars within 6/10 of a second. I mean, for me, this is just mind-blowing. And we are in the car and we have the experience, but even for us, this is quite impressive to see. And we need to push ourselves mentally, but also physically to the real limit to be able to do this. And I think Croatia is one of the events where we really have to be on the limit of our own capacities all the time.
So, Fee, do you shock yourself, Thierry?
Yeah, I mean, I have gone through all kind of experiences since I'm rallying. From the most crazy moments to the most disappointing and shocking ones. But for sure, there's a clear tendency of an increasing level in terms of pushing the boundaries further and further in the WRC Championship. This is something which we experienced since there's a trend since a few years. Clearly visible and even more feelable for us. I mean, that amount of preparation we put into the events, that amount of analyzes we put into the events, that amount of documentations the team prepares before and after each event. There are new limits which we are exploring, which 10 years ago, even 5-6 years ago, wasn't the case. Data analyzes, stage analyzing, I mean, it goes through the details of what tires will have the most energy on which stage, what tire wear, it's a lot of details you have to to work on. So it's not simply putting the best tires on the car, but also keeping good tires for the whole loop. So how you do your strategy, there's a lot of things which come together. And additional to that, the hybrid strategies, which are influencing a lot as well, the performance. So all those details make it very tough. And then for sure, we have talked about it earlier, the pace knots, the precision of the pace knots, the details of the pace knots are pushed to another limit. The work in the videos as well. So we're having today every driver has a crew of 3 or 4 people around him, focusing on making his life as easy as possible to focus on the main driving. So it's a real team effort. It's exciting. I like it, but I also feel that it's pushing myself to the maximum.
As in, there has got to be a point where something is done about it, or
I don't know what you want to do. I mean, there's clearly a trend of making life very, very difficult for new young drivers to join on the highest level. It doesn't depend on which car it is. The job was done by the current drivers. This massive amount of work. I see the trend in the young drivers, not all of them, but most of them, is more like, coming, enjoying and driving. And but it's not only this, it's much more than this. And that makes it also so difficult for the young drivers at the moment to actually join and reach that level of competition.
Just because there's so much work, isn't it? Like looking at the videos.
Exactly.
Do you think that maybe is putting people off?
I mean, there's clearly a trend today on the whole and on the world in general where, it's hard to motivate young people now to work for anything and to come into a championship on such a high level and make so many sacrifices just to try to be on the top level. It seems like it's more and more difficult to find those youngsters with that motivation.
It's a bit of a worry, isn't it? But I guess the sort of the upshot is the product is still exciting, it's still good. Okay, we know that the championship does need to promote itself better, but the core product of what rallying is always going to attract people, isn't it?
Definitely. We have those real fans as well, which are fans for once, fans forever. I mean, so that are those passionates about cars, and cars were still making noise and are spectacular to watch. But for sure, there's a big job to do to get the championship where it deserves to be.
Rally drivers are renowned as the best in the world. For example, in our top 50 rankings in the magazine, there's always a rally driver within the top 5 because they are regarded as that good. Is it cool to be sort of like thought of as like the best in the world at what you do? Because, what you go through is just unlike any motorsport.
I think it's hard to compare a Formula One driver with a rally driver. You have Formula One drivers who are just super good and pushing the limits also to the highest of the possible level. I think the rally driver is the more complete driver, definitely, where the circuit driver is maybe the more perfect driver, the more repetitive driver, where we are the more complete, the more natural driver. I think that makes a difference. Also, I think rallying needs much more experience than circuit racing, because there's no little track evolution variations, and you have so much kind of data which is always the same and you can easily compare and improve. When rallying, there are a lot of things which are still left up to the feeling, the experience, and the driver or the crew.
And so you yourself, Marcel, obviously the driver and co-driver, I think I don't get enough credit sort of globally, if that's fair to say, because I think the work that you both go through is unlike anything else. Like it's crazy. Do you feel like you don't get enough credit as a sort of in within the worlds of sport?
To be honest, I don't care too much about this kind of things. We do our best. We do it initially for ourselves and for the team because we are passionate by the sport. We do it because we love it. And I don't care what the other people think about our performance. You know, we have fans, we have people that are following us. So, yeah, if they are happy, then we are also happy. So, but for sure, in my own opinion, and okay, maybe it's influenced because I'm a really rally fan. But for me, the drivers and this kind of cars need a little bit more respect, in my opinion. But yeah, it is what it is. I think Formula One was also like, if you look at it 6 years ago, it was also like in a kind of a dip. And now everybody knows it. And we know why everybody knows it. So yeah, it's all about promotion of the sport and making the key people like heroes. So yeah, if you would change a little bit of promotion, then you would also change the vision of the people that don't know the rally, and you can attract a lot of more fans.
Okay, let's talk a bit more sort of on a fun topic. Obviously, outside of rallying, what are you guys getting up to? What do you like to do?
I have maybe two passions, but I think most of people are aware about it. It's cycling and coffee. It's both good for training, but also
he didn't speak about his wife.
Relaxing moment. So Nina is not listening this podcast. She don't care about that. That's why I up to when I'm at home and going in the nature and watching cars on the internet and.
When you say coffee, are you sort of like you like to try all the different types of coffee, or is it just like what about it? Is it?
Yeah, first of all, I have a good Italian coffee machine to make proper coffee, and then I do some experiment with different kind of beans, different kind of grinding, and it's like making a perfect car setup, but also a perfect coffee setup. So it's a bit, it's also with some strategy to have the best stage.
The coffee in the morning is not good. The stage is shit.
Voila. It's a good comparison.
Do you have different types of coffee for different rallies? Or have you not gone down that road? Like for Kenya, would you have a different type? Or go to Finland and then no?
We don't go so far. I have other things to concentrate on during the rally than on coffee. So, Let's keep this for the home.
So one day we will see, once you've had your rally career, we will see you as a coffee king, will we? A man that has his own coffee brand.
It's a wish for me to have my own coffee beans one day, but maybe I will not wait that long until after my rally career. Maybe it will come sooner.
Might be on some of that. And Thierry, of yourself, I hope.
Oh, where to start? I have a lot of hobbies and interest in many things, but I would say first of all, I have a family, so I try to spend some time with my family when I'm home. And then it's, I would say, all about extreme sports. Mostly something with wheels, whatever, two or four, mainly four. I have my car collection, whatever, rally cars or sports cars. I enjoy driving them and having a tour in them. And I enjoy, obviously, flying helicopter, which is my hobby, which has nothing to do with racing. That's where I enjoy a lot my free time with. And then obviously I have a company to manage where,
of course,
where I'm working most of the time between the testing and the rallies. I spend a lot of time managing the company together with my team and So yeah, that's already a lot, and there's actually much more.
You've got obviously the cross carts, and you're quite passionate about getting this, the younger wave of drivers through, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, it's a business now, and we're trying to grow the business with my business partner and my family as well. So it's something I enjoy most of the time, not all the time, but it's interesting to see, and it's probably something I will do more when I will retire from rallying. So.
Well, Thierry and Martin, thank you for joining us. It's been lovely to have quite an interesting chat about all sorts of different subjects. So, yeah, thanks for that, and all the best for Portugal. We hope you go well there, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's all we have time for today. A big thanks to Thierry and Martin for a fascinating insight into the world of the WRC and the crucial relationship between a driver and co-driver. Remember to log on to autosport.com and motorsport.com to keep up to date with the latest World Rally Championship news. Be sure to join us again for another edition of Gravel Notes. Thanks for listening.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.